This is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And welcome once again to the program. Glad to have you aboard today. Quickly, coming up, Elliot Friedman in a couple of moments on his, air quotations here, vacation. Worst vacation ever for Elliot Friedman. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Worst vacation for his wife, Steph, and son, Max, as Elliot has been working every single day. So much for taking time off before the playoffs. But nonetheless, Elliot checks in here in a couple of moments. Spencer Carberry from the Washington Capitals head coach with a dash 37. Going to the playoffs. We're going to talk a lot about what happened yesterday, specifically at 9:34 Eastern. We don't necessarily timestamp events, major events like that, but 9:34 Eastern yesterday, as Bob Cole would say, everything happened. So we'll get into that with Spencer Carberry. Congratulations to the Washington Capitals. They qualify for the postseason. Getting there was interesting. It is Wednesday. That means Greg Wyshynski from ESPN and The Drop will be aboard. And Matt Marchese will kick it off here. And we'll wrap it up as well. Headlines for you today include what?
Capitals make the playoffs despite a massive goal differential would be probably top of the totem pole.
Yeah.
How about the Red Wings missing the playoffs for an eighth straight season? And Pittsburgh, as they stand idly by, misses the playoffs for a second consecutive year.
What about the Philadelphia Flyers?
And the Philadelphia Flyers pulling their goalie to allow the Washington Capitals a playoff spot. It was a wild evening. Like even the ending of that Detroit-Montreal game with all the chaos and, you know, somebody not really giving an effort for an icing.
Pause on that. It's a tiny little thing sometimes, right, to really capture your attention.
Yep.
And even before David Perron ties it up with 5 seconds remaining in the third period. Like, again, this is all happening at 9:34. So as he's scoring that, you know, and, you know, all of a sudden that eliminates, once he gets into overtime, that eliminates the Philadelphia Flyers. John Tortorella is pulling out Sammy Ersson. But before that, there's a moment, folks, where Montreal ices the puck and David Perron, I'll just be honest, quits skating.
He sure did.
Shane Gostisbehere gives it the old college try. How did you describe it, Maddie, where the arms are going? And
the arms are going, but the legs aren't. It gives you the illusion that you're actually skating very hard to get to the puck. And when you watch it again, the arms are going. The legs are, they're not stopped, but he's more trudging than he is striding. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant.
That was Shane Gostisbehere's Timbits hockey skating.
Yeah.
Arms are going a million miles an hour, and there's nothing happening with the feet. Just try to make sure we get the icing so we go down the other end.
It was the old Thursday night Schaumburg Hockey League back check. That's what it was.
Yeah, that was something. Like, that was a fascinating night, and TJ Oshie scores for the Washington Capitals in regulation. As we all saw, and we'll continue to talk about today and in other series as well, and other games, John Tortorella pulls his goaltender with 3 minutes remaining in the third period. Now, John Tortorella, and we'll play this audio a little bit later on, said that he didn't know that the Detroit Red Wings had scored to tie the game and took it into overtime. So technically, they were eliminated. But don't forget, these things are all happening like right beside each other. Like, again, from 9:34 to 9:35. We've talked about, you know, we've talked about games in the Eastern Conference all happening all at the same time with the same starting time. So there's like 15 minutes of chaos when things are jumbling up and big things are happening and momentum swings and it's putting someone in the playoffs and pulling someone out of the playoffs. Yesterday was 60 seconds. Yesterday between 9:34 and 9:35, everything got wrapped up in the Eastern Conference. And it was the Red Wings tying it, which eliminated Philly. It was Philly pulling their goaltender, which allowed the Washington Capitals to shoot at an empty net, gave them the berth. And listen, the Pittsburgh Penguins get eliminated in the process. So Detroit is out now as well. And one of the interesting things through all of this, Maddie, what did we talk about last summer? Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa. How many of the three are going to get in?
That is a nice round number of zero.
That is zero. And here we go into, after these playoffs are done, into the offseason again. Now, two of these teams need coaches.
Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe three.
You think Derek Lalonde's in trouble?
I don't. But some people have said maybe.
See, with Buffalo, there's consequences. We've already seen the consequences in Ottawa. That's been a story going on all season long with the general manager and the coach as well. But I don't know that anything changes in Detroit.
The back end better change, really, and the goaltending, but not the certainly not the coach. We know the GM's not going anywhere. don't think the coach should be going anywhere.
I don't think so either. And again, though, expectations were higher for the Buffalo Sabres, the Ottawa Senators, and the Detroit Red Wings. Like, I'm of the belief now, and we'll get into this with Elliot coming up in a couple of moments, that, you know, now with the dismissal of Don Granato as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, I think if there's no playoffs next season, I think it's going to be a bloodbath in Buffalo.
Should be.
And we'll see which direction they go. And the Kevin Adams press conference yesterday, he talked about a veteran coach. So right away, you think about Lindy Ruff and you think about Craig Berube and names like this.
What about Bruce Boudreau?
Bruce Boudreau is another name you should bandy around. Let's bring in Elliot Friedman from by way of Florida and the 32 Thoughts blog and podcast and Hockey Night in Canada. Hello, Friedge. How are you?
I have a compliment for you.
A compliment?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay, shoot.
It was one of the broadcasters in the league was watching your show yesterday, and he said it's a really good show. I said, are you sure you were watching the right channel? He said, yes, it was the Merrick show.
Well, you can tell him that Merrick always says a mediocre man is always at his best, so I'm glad that he appreciated the best that I could provide yesterday.
By the way, said it got better after the first half hour, too.
We tend to start slow and try to build up to a crescendo by the end, but nonetheless. You know, we don't normally timestamp like this when it comes to major events in the NHL, but last night we kind of had to. 9:34 to 9:35, you know, to paraphrase Bob Cole, everything is happening. Yeah. And it was David Perron tying the game against the Montreal Canadiens. There was a very questionable skate to try to keep an icing alive with Shane Gostisbehere and David Perron, where Perron just flat out stopped skating and Shane Gostisbehere moved his arms, but the feet weren't going anywhere. Nonetheless, they got it back down to the Montreal zone and tied it up. And then John Tortorella pulled out Sammy Ersson, not knowing that Detroit had sent that thing into overtime and Philadelphia Flyers were eliminated. TJ Oshie scores and the Washington Capitals punched their ticket. Like, again, Elliot, last night, there was a great and really entertaining night of hockey, sticking with the soap opera theme that has been this year in the NHL.
Yes, and you know, first of all, I'm glad you mentioned the icing, because someone from Tampa texted me immediately, and they said to me, "Do you remember?" And I knew when I saw the name, I knew exactly who what this was going to be about. If you go back to the 2022 Stanley Cup Final when Colorado beat Tampa in six games, at the end of that game, I think game six was 1-0, if I remember correctly, but it was a one-goal game. Do you remember there was an icing at the end of that game that they waved off?
Yeah.
Because I can't remember if it was Hedman or McDonough. I think it was Hedman. They felt he went too slowly at it, or it died.
Yep.
And immediately, like, it was like it said, like, if you're going to call that, and I, you know what, to be honest, I have to look at these again.
Yeah.
But you see, if you're going to call that in game six of the Stanley Cup Final with the season on the line, how are you not going to call that last night?
You know, at the same time, because I looked at that and said, like, hold on a second. Like, they got to cancel the icing on that one. Like, God bless Shane Gostisbehere. If you've played or watched hockey for any amount of time, you know exactly what Gostisbehere is doing on that icing. He's trying to make sure that remains icing and we're going back to the Montreal zone. But then I think back to, and I know this, I'm going to sound like I'm hounding Detroit Red Wings fans here, but I mean, like, they've had some beefs the last couple of weeks with certain calls not going their way. I kind of looked at that and said, you know how we talk about not complaining about calls because everything kind of washes by the end of the year? I look at that and say, okay, you know what? That was their makeup. Like, not that it was deliberate, but yeah, calls go against you, calls go for you. It's just the hue of an NHL season. I looked at that and said, you know what? Red Wings have had beefs with the officials. No one from Detroit was beefing about that yesterday.
No, I generally agree with you that it all evens out. I mean, last night it was Kelly Sutherland is one of the referees that the NHL really depends on.
Yep.
He's one of the guys that they, and you know, like, I'm not going to make fun of it or anything like that. It was a rough miss. Like, I've been that guy on the internet before. I've made a big mistake on a big stage. I guarantee to you, Jeff, that the NHL was sitting there in the situation room saying, how on earth can we make this count?
Yeah.
Or they were hoping that one of those teams was going to win that game by 5 goals.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a great night of drama. You know, Tortorella explained it all out. I thought it was interesting. He basically said that even if he had known, he was going to coach the game to win it best for the Flyers anyway.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting if he had known what he would have done. But it seemed to me, based on what he said, he would have pulled the goalie anyway.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember when there was a year that Tampa was not very good, and when he was still coaching Tampa, and Florida was good, and there was a big game between them late in the year, and something happened. He was basically like, screw those guys, I hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could see him being the kind of guy who's like, well, you know, Detroit's in overtime, you're out. He's like, screw it, we're pulling the goalie anyway. But, he didn't know, but it was, I mean, even sitting in Florida last night watching the game, the Panthers fans were really excited about the whole idea of a Florida series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I have to tell you, again, Jeff, my friends who I've been lifetime friends with who are big Leaf fans, they are convinced Boston threw the last two games. And I was like, I asked someone, how did they play last night? And they said they were all over Ottawa. They just couldn't score.
Yeah.
And and he goes, but my buddies are convinced that Boston threw it to play the Leafs. You cannot change their mind.
I don't know about that one, but I will say the Washington game, Elliot.
Yeah.
I don't know that that was the most energetic I've ever seen Boston.
I agree with you on that one. I completely agree with you. I'm saying last night,
yeah,
I thought, the Washington game, 100% sure looked like it.
Yeah.
I was watching that. I was watching what I could watch of that, saying, this is weird. But at least last night, they poured it on.
Yeah.
You're not going to change these people's minds. They're convinced they threw it to play the Leafs.
Okay, so you were there last night, Florida Panthers, Toronto Maple Leafs. A couple of things to get into there. I want to get to Matthews in a second. But now with the playoff matchups all set in the East, Florida-Tampa, Boston-Toronto, Rangers-Capitals, and the Hurricanes against the Islanders. You know what the first thing that jumps to my mind is here?
What's that?
This is the easiest travel opening round I think I've ever seen.
You know what? That's a good one.
And it's all because the Florida teams are playing each other. The reason that's great is, you know, there's always fatigue in the postseason. That's obvious. But it won't be because of travel in the first round. Can you think of, like, any other season where you've seen, like, easier travel? This is a snap.
Off the top of my head, no. I mean, New York, Washington, when we used to do that series, we'd take the train.
Yeah.
And it was such a nice way to travel. Like, I really enjoyed it, the Acela. And, it's a great call, Jeff. I mean, Tampa, Florida, you can drive back and forth.
Yeah.
Might get a little bit of bored of Alligator Alley, but there's a lot worse places you could have to drive.
Yeah.
It's a really good call. I mean, I have to say, like, that was... It was wild there last night. What did they have, 31 shots in the second period?
29-4 was the final. Originally was 31. They took it down to 29. 29-4.
So it was funny. The seats we bought, we were in the area that Toronto was defending and the first in Toronto was shooting at.
Yeah.
In that second period. And my son was like, is the puck ever going to come down here? And I go, not right now, kid. Ice is tilted the other way.
You know, in my perfect world where things like this occur, if I'm the Florida Panthers at that moment, I tell the Zamboni driver, just go flood half the ice, just to send a message and just take a shot at the Toronto Maple Leafs there.
I'll tell you something else, sir, too. And this is just for Washington. I think the Capitals want Ryan Leonard to play here. I don't know what's going to happen. I've heard there as the... there isn't a decision one way or the other at this time.
Yeah.
But I do, and I think initially he was planning on going back to school.
Yeah.
But I think the Capitals want him to play, and because he's on their reserve list, he can play.
You know, I still think, and I go back to the draft where the Flyers took Matvei Michkov and the Washington Capitals took Ryan Leonard. It seemed as if each team took the other team's stereotypical player.
Yeah,
because when you
true.
Look at Ryan Leonard, you think, wow, big, strong, Hallgate. He looks like a Flyer. And, you know, the Washington Capitals, with their history of Russian hockey players, headlined by Alex Ovechkin, you'd have thought, like, okay, drooling at the idea of maybe grabbing someone like Matvei Michkov. How times have changed, Elliot Friedman. How times have changed. So a couple of more things from last night. So you're there. The third period rolls around. The Maple Leafs are down 5-2. And they pull the goaltender, and they get a power play, and everything revolves around just get Matthews to 70. Had a couple of chances at it, had a couple of chances during the game. I think it's pretty safe to say that in tonight's Tampa-Toronto game, we will see Austin Matthews shooting for 70, and we'll see Nikita Kucherov going for 100 assists here. Other than that, you know, don't want to say a game is meaningless, but really it's kind of a meaningless game other than these players chasing their records.
Here's my solution to this problem.
Okay.
Do you remember when John Scott was voted into the All-Star game?
No,
I know you do.
No.
Because it almost cost you your job.
Don't remember it. It almost did cost my job, too. Yeah, that's a good point.
So do you remember how they said the players, and I gained a ton of respect for those guys.
Yeah.
They set it up where he was going to score on the first shift.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're like, okay, we are creating a situation where we're going to make him look good.
Yep.
I thought that was extremely well done.
Yep.
So this is what I think they should do tonight. They should drop the puck.
Yeah.
And they should just basically let Kucherov just pass it to someone and let them score. Okay. So Kucherov gets his 100th assist.
Yeah.
Then they drop the puck again. They let Matthews score his 70th goal.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just do running clock for the rest of the night.
Oh, that'll go over great. Great idea, Elliot. You always tell me my ideas are absurd. Can you imagine hockey social media? Can you imagine the NHL? Can you imagine, like, even though it is a sort of meaningless game, what'll happen to Sheldon Keefe and John Cooper if they go the Elliot Friedman route here?
Well, there's been some really good ones about this. Like a few years ago in the NFL, Michael Strahan, he could get the sack record. And like basically, he came in on Brett Favre, and Favre just dove to let him get the sack.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, Favre was like, yeah, I didn't dive. He got me. And everyone's like, whatever. And but that was allowed to stand. But there was a famous one in the NBA a few years ago. There was a player named Ricky Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was playing for the Cavaliers at the time. He needed a triple-double, and it was late in the game. He had one rebound. And so what he did was he went on his own basket, and he missed, and he grabbed the rebound, and the NBA took it away from him the next day.
Ouch. That's a little snug.
Well, I like that. You can't do that.
A couple of things here on the Austin Matthews 70. Do you think that the Maple Leafs last night in that game? I mean, listen, you were there in the stands. Were they guilty of being distracted too much by just trying to get the puck to 34?
You know, I have to tell you, I thought the one thing that really stood out to me was how invested the players are. Like, I watched some. Like, I'm at the game, and again, you can see it. But someone sent me some of the clips of the broadcast later, and it's very clear to me that even though that this is an individual thing, the players want it. The team wants it. They want it for Matthews, and they do consider it a bit of a team honor that he would get it with them. So I was very interested in that it's very clear that this is not just about Matthews getting it. It's about Matthews and his teammates getting it. I got to tell you, I didn't see a ton of that. The one thing I did see, and maybe on TV it looked different, it looked like on the power plays, the Panthers were really watching Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they normally you would, because it's just, he's a guy you got to take away. But it looked to me, and I'd have to watch it again, but just sitting in the crowd, it looked to me like they were hanging around him even more than you would normally think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I would say that I thought they – I mean, I don't know how you feel. Sometimes watching it on TV is a bit different than watching it in person. I don't know that I thought they were overpassing it to him, but I definitely did think the Panthers were playing a lot of attention to him, and I think he had a couple of great chances. Like, he had one low slap shot that Stolarz made a great save on. But did you feel that they got caught in it too much?
No,
I didn't sense that.
Not until the end when the game was out of hand and they were on the power play, and everybody knew they were forcing it to him. And the first time they got the puck to him, he flubbed the shot.
Yes.
It was almost like he knew, everybody in the rink knew, everybody on the ice knew that that's where the puck was ending up. And for whatever reason, he fluffed that first one. A couple of things.
Yeah.
So the Detroit Red Wings get eliminated last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, we spent a lot of time at the end of last season on the podcast here, elsewhere, and into the summer and into the season wondering of the next three, as we'll call them, in the Eastern Conference, the Buffalo Sabres, the Ottawa Senators, and the Detroit Red Wings, who would one, two, maybe even three, be the first team to emerge from that pack? And the answer is none. We've already seen consequences in Ottawa, whether it's the head coach or the general manager. We've seen consequences in Buffalo with Don Granato losing his job yesterday. And I want to get to Kevin Adams and the next coach here in a couple of seconds. But what happens in Detroit, if anything? Are there consequences for this one?
I'm not sure yet. I definitely think that, I'll say this. I heard, after the reports came out that Lalonde might be in trouble, I had a couple people reach out to me to say that Yzerman had indicated before the season he wasn't yet convinced it was a playoff team. And so that would indicate to me that it basically, even though they're going to be disappointed, it didn't play out differently. Now, the other thing, too, and I've said this to you many times, Yzerman has always been very patient with his coaches.
Oh, yeah.
And he was extremely patient with Blashill in Detroit. The only thing that makes me wonder here, and this is what one person said to me, they said they wonder, like, if Lalonde and Yzerman are completely aligned. And he talked about Hall, like, Yzerman signed him to a 3-year deal, and he couldn't get in the lineup.
Yeah.
But the other thing that one of Lalonde's defenders said to me is that, you know, you try to give yourself three goalies, but Husso couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see if in any way, shape, or form, Yzerman has any issue with the fact that he kept on going back to Alex Lyon. And, you know, Lyon was great for them. He took them to the precipice, just like he did with Florida a year ago. But I'm just curious, like, I think that's the one thing that someone said to me, and this is someone who's pretty connected. He wondered how aligned they are on some of the personnel and things like that. But like, I just have to say, based on what multiple people have told me, that Yzerman said before the season that he wasn't convinced it was a playoff team, there would have to be something really wrong that he's seen for him to make a change. Now, I think there's a couple of things here. Number one, Kane. Number two, Perron. Like, these guys are still really important players for them and what happens. But the other thing is, he's got to get some long-term extensions done here. Sider, Lucas Raymond. You know, I'm curious to see what those numbers are going to come in. And then, you know, Perron and Kane had both indicated at the deadline they were very happy and willing to stay and extend. Actually, I shouldn't say this about Kane. I think it was more like he's very happy, doesn't want to go anywhere, and will punt it in the offseason. But Perron was willing to extend, and we'll just see where all this goes.
Okay, really quickly on the Sabres, because we spent a lot of time on them yesterday. As we went off the air, about an hour afterwards, Kevin Adams, GM of the Buffalo Sabres, held his press conference where he talked about the coaching situation. and he stressed veteran coach. So right away, our minds go to Lindy Ruff, who's available, Craig Berube, who's available, and then maybe the ultimate wild card in all of this. Should we be watching Rod Brind'Amour?
Okay, so what I've heard, I know why everyone's saying Rod Brind'Amour. It's because Kevin Adams and Brind'Amour played with each other.
Yes.
And so there's that link. I have heard, and I've said it on the pod, I believe Brind'Amour has had something in the drawer for a long time. As a matter of fact, I've had people who claim that it was done pretty much last summer. However, Brind'Amour has waited for his assistant coaches to be taken care of. Now, so I believe that Brind'Amour is going to stay, providing everything gets... And you know the way Carolina does things. Oh, they have a number.
Yep.
And like some coaches, like Dean Chenoweth, who's now in Toronto, he felt he could do better on the open market. Mm-hmm. They gave him the due permission to do it, and he did. So, like, until someone tells me that this has fallen apart for whatever reason, I think Brind'Amour is going back to Carolina.
Right. Okay, in the ongoing story that is the Arizona Coyotes to Salt Lake City, there is a game tonight. It'll be the Oilers at Mullet Arena facing off against the Arizona Coyotes. We expect this one to be fairly emotional for the obvious reasons. I don't know if anybody gets out there and does an Eddie Olchuk type speech at the end of the game to the fans. Oh, not sure who that player could be, if there was one. Maybe Josh Doan. Who knows? But what do you expect? Before I ask you, sort of the next steps here, I think we're all looking for an announcement as early as tomorrow. What's tonight going to be like? I mean, this is going to be an historic night, not just in Arizona, but in the entire NHL.
So I think there's going to be a lot of people watching. I think it's going to be emotional. I think it's going to be emotional in a couple of ways. Number one, it's going to be emotional because the fans of the Coyotes are going to be disappointed at losing their team.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be some sadness and some disappointment. But I think it's also going to be emotional because I think they're going to be angry. And I think in the long run, the players are going to recognize that they're going to a place where the owner has very deep pockets. The owner is willing to spend. The owner is going to create an environment where they can be successful. But I think also in the short term, I think they're just disappointed because they feel that they weren't prepared, mm-hmm. that they were misled. And I think what happens is you've got to finish feeling one before you can start feeling the other. Like, I think in the long run, the Coyotes players are going to recognize that this is a good thing for them. And I think they generally do recognize that, but still it's hard the way it all went down. Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be a lot of, I think there's going to be a mix of sadness and anger. Now, as for the machinations of this, there is a Board of Governors call, Zoom, whatever, tomorrow afternoon. Jeff, barring any major changes, mm-hmm. I believe the announcement is going to come after that Board of Governors meeting. So I'm expecting it to happen tomorrow afternoon. I don't know if there's going to be any press conferences or anything tomorrow,
right.
But I do think, barring a major change from what I'd been hearing before I came on, I checked before I came on, that this is going to be announced after the Board of Governors Zoom call tomorrow.
Okay, an interesting 24 hours ahead in Arizona. Really quickly, before we go off the air with you here, Elliot, two broadcasters that I want to mention who are calling it a career. Jeff Rimmer in Columbus. Like to make special mention of the longtime play-by-play voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets. That name is and that sound is synonymous with CBJ. And also Jack Edwards, who calls it a career with Nesson covering the Boston Bruins. Someone that can be polarizing for some. I've always loved him. And I'll tell you what, Elliot, if you go back to the early days of our podcast, we sat down for about an hour when Boston was in Toronto and sat down with Jack Edwards and he ran through how he prepares for a game. Like, I find Jack to be one of the most fascinating people in the game. I know he's frustrated at what's happened to him and there's no explanation that he has for it. I just think that it's a time to praise two of the great play-by-play voices the game has had of recent note. Jeff Rimmer in Columbus, Jack Edwards with the Boston Bruins.
Well, you know, when it comes to that, the thing is, the only thing people I think matters who care about, whose opinion matters about Jack Edwards are the Bruins fans.
Yep.
And like these, like, people can argue whether or not this is the way it should work, but this is the way it does work. When you are the home broadcaster for your teams, the most important thing that you do is you have a connection with your fans.
Yeah.
Okay? The Bruins fans, there are a lot of them who love Edwards, and that's all that matters. And just like the Columbus fans love Rimmer, and that's all that matters. Like, you know, what Jeff Rimmer did was not only about broadcasting the games, but it was about welcoming the community to the NHL and making the community comfortable in the NHL. Like last night, after their game, at the end of their game, they had great attendance this year, and their fans were very passionate as they beat, in a positive way, as they beat Carolina. After the year they had, first of all, that says a lot of great things about the Columbus fans. And number two, what it also says is that Rimmer played a big job in creating that. Because it's not just the organization that creates the love affair between the fans and the team. It's the players, but it's also the faces of those broadcasts. Players come and go, and some of them make a great, like Rick Nash made a great, it was great, and everybody's going to always love Rick Nash there. But for a lot of Columbus fans, Jeff Rimmer is the face of their hockey.
Yeah.
And what I saw at the end of the game last night, that was in a positive way after a terrible season from their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Rimmer has a lot to do with that. You know, as for Jack, you know, we'll talk about this in the podcast a bit tomorrow. I want to talk a little bit more about Jack for the podcast on Friday. But, you know, one guy I really want to shout out is Andy Brickley, who is Jack's partner.
Yep.
Because, you know, Jack had a tough year, and it's very hard when you don't know exactly what's going on. But I had people who told me that, like, Brickley was incredible. Like, he would, you know, fill in sentences. And I'd watch it sometimes, but there are other times I missed it. And, like, that's what a partner is supposed to be. You're a duo. It's like, you always sabotage me on the podcast, Jeff. Brickley doesn't do that. And I think Brickley deserves a lot of credit for the help he gave Jack from what was a really tough year. But I'm going to talk more about Edwards on the podcast. There are a few things I want to say.
That's a great point about Andy Brickley. Great teammate, great line mate, great partner for so many years on that great Nesson broadcast. Okay, enjoy the rest of your day in Florida. Dipping your toes in the sand.
What a day to travel tomorrow.
Yeah.
What a day to travel tomorrow, eh?
What are you doing today?
You know what? We're just walking around a little bit, and we're going to go back to the beach this afternoon. And I think it's Roberto Luongo's brother-in-law has a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
About 15 minutes from our hotel, and we're going there for dinner tonight.
You're not going back for that massive chicken parm that you talked about on the last podcast?
No, but you know what? I had some people who DM'd me and asked me for the name of the place that lived down here, and they like tell me where it is. I want my shot at this thing. I said, hey, man. Don't try to take the title. To be the man, I'm like Ric Flair. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
It's the chicken parm version of the old 96er from the great outdoors, as we talked about. Okay, enjoy your afternoon and your evening with your family, and look forward to you coming back.
All right, buddy. Speak to you tomorrow.
Elliot Bye-bye. Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. And as you mentioned, it's going to be an emotional one tonight at Mullet Arena. The final game for the Arizona Coyotes as they face off against the Edmonton Oilers. And one thing I'll add to all of that before we bring Spencer Carberry aboard here, you really have to commend the Arizona Coyotes, the players specifically who have had every single opportunity to fold up and just wilt and say, not happening for us. What did they do? They went out and beat Vancouver. They went out and beat Edmonton, almost beat the Calgary Flames as well. That was nip and tuck all the way right to the end. And we'll see what happens tonight as they face off against the Edmonton Oilers. I would expect a great effort from Arizona in their final game in that state before they go to Salt Lake City.